The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." This is the Gospel of Christ. Well, the time has come around again. Christmas time is almost upon us, the time of singing these old carols, many of them familiar to many of us from childhood, to some of us associated with very dear memories of parents, grandparents, and others whom we have known and who are no longer with us. But central to it all is this great truth that John here expounds. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is at the centre of it all. Without the fact, the truth of the incarnation, Christmas is simply like those boxes that you see in department store windows, wrapped up in beautiful wrapping paper, with a nice big bow on them, but with nothing inside. But here is the wonder of it all, that Christ has come, that God has come into the world. That indeed, as that great Christmas morning hymn puts it, the Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. In these few minutes, just share some thoughts out of this text here in John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. First of all, John speaks here of a true incarnation. The Word became flesh. And then he speaks of a true glory, and we beheld his glory. The true incarnation and the true glory. And he begins with this true incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He has already spoken of who the Word is. In the beginning was the Word. However far back you push that beginning, the Word already was. There never was a time when he was not. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He does not say the Word was a created being who was almost God. He says the Word was God. He speaks here of that mystery of who God is, the identity of God, the divine nature that we cannot wrap our heads around. Back in the day, C.S. Lewis said there were many who were talking about looking for a God who is more than personal. But he said the only place you can find a God who is more than personal is in Holy Scripture, in the Bible, when we find that the true God is one God and yet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that great mystery of the Trinity. The God who is personal and more than personal. And we see that all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John here says that there is no created thing that the Word was not involved in the creation of. In other words, he cannot be a created thing, because all the created things are things that were created by him, through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He is then true Almighty God. He is the Creator. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Everything that is was made through him. When John here says, in the beginning was the Word, he is echoing that opening verse of the whole Bible. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And here is the Creator. And then we see the Word became flesh. He does not say the Word became a man. He could have said the Word became a man. But he says the Word became flesh. Flesh is that element of humanity that people so often find difficult to deal with. Many of the ancient Greeks, their philosophers, said, well, we believe in the immortality of the soul, but the idea that the body can be raised from the dead, why would that be? There are many today who think in terms of life after death being a sort of disembodied existence, because they think that the flesh, the body, is in and of itself necessarily bad. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on himself a real human nature. Everything that we are in terms of a human nature, a body and a soul, that he took to himself. Fully human, the Word became flesh. And all that humanity involves. Part of the wonder of Christmas is that we think indeed of the babe in the manger, that child in the manger is true Almighty God. And it is something that is mind-blowing. Again, as Mr. Wesley puts it, our God contracted to a span incomprehensibly made man. We cannot wrap our heads around this glorious fact, God with us. Because the Word became flesh, he shared our humanity. And so many of our Christmas carols speak of that, of his humanity. That he shares in every pang that rends the heart. That he has known suffering here below. It's notable, although Joseph appears in the nativity narrative, and appears in that one little glimpse we have of Jesus at 12 years old, he doesn't appear at all after that. So at some point after the Lord Jesus Christ turned 12, while he was still maybe a child, maybe a young man, Joseph died. And he was there, and the man who had brought him up as a father, he saw that man buried. And he saw his mother and his brothers and his sisters mourning, and he mourned with them. He shares that humanity. We have that little glimpse of him as a little boy, 12-year-old boy, just on the cusp, in fact, of adolescence. And we see him there in the temple, sitting and listening and learning, because he was a real little boy. And he grew up into a real man. And he is a real man, without sin. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He shared our human experience. A true humanity. A true incarnation. God genuinely with us. But then we come to our second point, which is the true glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. How did they behold his glory? They did not behold glory in the way of human kings. Not the glory of jeweled robes and crowns and palaces. But rather a man who lived an ordinary life. A man who walked the dust of Galilee. A man who, when he needed to fulfill prophecy, to ride a donkey into Jerusalem, he had to borrow one. He didn't own a donkey. He walked everywhere until that one moment when he couldn't, because the prophecy said that he must ride that donkey. So it is not the glory of the lives of the rich and famous. And yet John says, we beheld his glory. Not everybody who saw him did behold his glory, because not everyone who saw him had eyes to see. There were the Pharisees who said, we see, and Jesus said they were blind. Why? Because they could not see his glory. Because they were looking for something other than the glory that there was revealed. John tells us that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was glorified. And the hour came at last when he was to be glorified. And he was glorified. Not by being praised and exalted by men, but by being nailed to a cross. That was his glory. Indeed, John thinks of the glory that he saw in that perfect life of love lived here below. In that perfect character, that man who was never moved by the pressures that people tried to put on him. But most of all, when he thinks of the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the hour has come that the Son of Man is to be glorified, and to be glorified by being nailed to a cross. I still remember, many, many years later, words of an old minister in a little old church down by a river in the Norfolk Broads. And those were the days when Christmas carol services would be packed. They're not packed anymore. Even in that little church where it used to be spare chairs in the aisle to fit everybody in, now it's about half full. And he said, people like Christmas, the Christ of Christmas, because there he is, the baby in the manger. Oh, come, let us adore him. But the baby did not remain in the manger. He grew to become a man. And that man was taken and nailed to a wooden cross. And he was nailed to that cross. And there he was glorified. How is he glorified? By dying what was the most shameful death possible in that day and age. Because it was for us he hung and suffered there. Because there he took our place. and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And thus it was that one of those two criminals crucified with him looked and saw there upon the cross, suffering, dying. He saw the Lord. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He saw a king. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah, what a saviour. Because the fullness of his glory is seen not in that poor lowly stable, but his glory is seen on the cross on that Good Friday, when he suffered and died for his people. That human body that he took, that human nature, he suffered, and we cannot understand, we cannot see what it meant to him. But we know this, it was for us. It was so that whoever puts their trust in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus put it like this. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the message of Christmas. I said, mentioned at the beginning that illustration, that picture of the box with nothing in it. But the great Christmas present, the great Christmas gift, is the gift that God gives, that is full of glory, full of hope, full of his own eternal love, even the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he gives him yet, and he offers him yet at this Christmas time, and at every time, Christ offers himself that we may know his love, his grace, his mercy. God has given his Son for us and our salvation. Will you put your trust in him? Do you trust him? Because he calls us to him to believe and to trust and to find in him that everlasting peace. Well, may God bless you, and may God help us to think on these things at this time, that we may know indeed the joy of Christmas. Amen.